This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pit keeping you guys from us.
They never let you guys this close.
I know. We had a
on all mean... our other tour stops. Hi, Boston!
I don't know if anyone's up there. We're just waving at the roof.
No, they're there.
I thought you flipped them off.
I just saw someone leave to go to the bathroom.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or they couldn't handle it.
Nope. Thought this was Get Out.
So they did.
And they did.
So they did.
Hi.
Hi, everybody. This is... Thank you.
Us too.
This is a lot. This is a lot, and it's fucking right here.
I know.
I don't know why. It's not like we're ballerinas and we're so used to the orchestra, but...
It looks like... Yeah, it's exciting. What were we going to talk?
Well, first we do outfit show.
Right.
Ready?
Right.
Thank you. Thanks. Yep. Just take it around. Don't be afraid to take it around in a circle.
I don't have pockets, but I had a tissue put in here because I have allergies earlier, and it looked great, and I lost it.
Grandma?
Yeah.
My grandma used to always have four tissues up
really?
Her sleeve, like the worst magician of all time.
I need to do that.
Ta-da!
It's not always.
This is the dress that I wore, that I got in Chicago, that I wore in our very first live show.
Right.
I mean, you don't have to scream for that, but... I went shopping yesterday and I picked out almost the exact same dress by the same person. The whole thing, it was just like the sleeves were this much shorter.
And Jessica then I was Simpson?
Like, I'm just fucking wearing that old dress. Yep. I'm wearing a Jessica Simpson tonight. Thank you. You don't have to be blonde to like bad fashion.
I need to stop wearing dresses with any kind of flair because then I can't, well, in my mind, I can't rewear them.
Oh.
Because it's, you know what I mean? Like, I have 400
dresses.
You can't
dresses. Be seen. Yeah, it's just, well, you have enough to choose from, though.
Yeah, but not black ones. I'm like, colors! And like, I'm like, what's her name from Three's Company? The neighbor.
Chrissy. Oh, the slutty neighbor?
Mrs. Roper.
Oh, Mrs.
She's slutty? Yeah, Mrs. Roper, the slutty slut neighbor.
No, in the later seasons, there was a slutty neighbor who wanted to fuck Jack constantly.
Oh, please.
And it was this, it used to embarrass me as a child when he'd open the door and it'd be, what was her name, Janice?
Lana.
Lana?
Lana.
Is that correct, or are you just yelling slut names?
Sorry to all the Lanas in here, but you kind of knew already.
Jack would open the door and then she'd be like, hello, Jack. And I'd be like, dial it back. They like it when you don't like them.
I didn't know that because of TV shows from the 80s where it's like, here I am, take it. I'm like, wow. Okay.
Oh,
I'll try that. I also brought like my only nice heels that I own that I wore one time almost a year ago at my wedding.
Uh-huh.
That still had like glitter on the upside down of them on the heel. And then I took them out of the hotel and I was like, absolutely not. I'm not doing this. So I have flats on because what the fuck? I'm not a fucking.
You're basically wearing those socks that you wear under slip on shoes. right?
Yeah, and I'm sure they smell, and they're
you
like...
You could slip another pair of shoes on top of those shoes, if you felt like it.
Oh my god, you just kind of blew my mind, and now I'm like, oh, well, I could wear them, though, because no one would know the difference.
Exactly right.
That's fine.
It wasn't a slam.
My life is better.
Especially because coming from this area, where... just a quick negative shout-out to my sister, Laura, who, after seeing us at the Oakland show, which was our first stop on this tour, shout-out to Oakland, she texted and said, I thought the show was great, but you have to get rid of those tights you're wearing.
So, what's wrong with your tights?
Okay, this is what it is to have an older sister. So then I was like, I'm not fucking gonna get those are the tights I like, whatever. And then, of course, that's the first thing I bought yesterday. I was like, do you have any very sheer? My sister needs to see me in a sheer tight.
Control top would be great.
Control top, whatever price. I'll pay whatever price. And so then that's what I did. Now I look like I look like an orphan child that's been in the ash bin. That's not
you
no. This
Gab
isn't
neck.
The look I do.
Neck, can I have a
this
pin,
isn't
please?
My jam at all.
No.
So once I saw how sheer the tights were, I was like, well, I'm not wearing heels now. Fuck everything. Yeah. I'm going to Clog Town.
Yeah.
Right?
This tour is now called We Don't Give a Shit About Shoes. My favorite murder story.
Is there enough time to get that on the shirts? Joe, please.
Can we get... Steven, can you go ahead and... Go ahead, Steven, and... Steven! He's not here. He's not here, but...
He's not here.
We don't bring him with us sometimes.
He'll edit
listen.
This, though,
he's
and
edit.
That part will mean the world to him.
Yeah. I texted him, and I was like, you know, we were like, edits on this, and then I was like, hey, you know, we talk a lot of shit to you, and I just want to make sure you know that we're joking, and it's funny because you're the most amazing fucking person, and we'll, but we'll dial it back if you like, if it's like hurting your feelings. He's like, no, I love it.
Of course
he was. Like, no, it's great.
We had a really great bit going on the Lost episode, the Vancouver Lost episode.
Yeah.
Just
we
didn't get recorded for some reason. And the whole thing was, I think it was Vancouver, it was about how Steven was hiding underneath this tablecloth.
Like, mixer.
Sitting there
and
like
his
a
mic.
Super nerd. Oh,
and there was a random cat under there?
Yes, there was just a cat he found in the alley, and he was just stroking his mustache, listening to the live episode
he
live.
He really does that. Have you noticed?
He does. He's a bit of a nervous Nelly, so he does a little bit of he has a little bit of this, which is like, he's halfway to one of these like whimsical facial hair guys.
Yeah. Oh, let's talk about ice cream.
Okay. Hard left turn.
Yeah. Steven, ice cream, cats.
I want to shit on Steven for at least 10 minutes. Okay. Ice cream it is.
We got a gift backstage of ice cream. It says, hi, Karen and Georgia. Love the show. So I made you a flavor at my company. It's called Elvis Wanna Cookie, Bacon, Banana Bacon, Peanut Butter Cookie, Butter. Sorry, Karen. There's sugar in it. Sad face.
Oh, that's okay. I'm eating sugar again. Yeah. Yeah.
Thanks, you guys. Stay sexy, Jacqueline. And it's called The Parlor Ice Cream. Have you guys been there? Jacqueline. It's fucking good.
Just really quick. Banana. Bacon.
Oh, I said it
too. Peanut butter cookie butter. That's what we ate backstage before we came out here.
That's why we're really excited to be here. It's sugar!
It's so good. It's so good.
Yep, it is. And it's named after my fucking cat.
Man. Bring us presents if you want us to talk about you.
I'm reading the Elizabeth Smart autobiography called My Story.
Did you say biography?
Nope.
Autobiography.
Autobiography.
She's all, well, here's the thing. That's an in-the-room joke. Nobody at home's going to get that if they listen to this. The Black
Nobody
Dahlia
knows.
Writing her
laughing?
Autobiography. Thank you.
I'm riding in my car, and why are they laughing?
I feel left out. Now I'm angry at a podcast. I better take to social media and tell them exactly how I feel.
Repeatedly. Gosh, I wish they understood.
Sorry.
No, I don't care. Truly. So if you ever want to feel bad about feeling bad about your life, and then just read the Elizabeth Smart story. The girl got kidnapped in Utah and like lived as this guy's wife as a kid.
This whole time I thought you were talking about Elizabeth Short, the Black Dahlia. That's why I was making that
That's
face.
That's why the biography. Oh, I get it. I thought I was missing something.
Shit, you were. You were missing the fact that God. I didn't get what you were talking about.
I thought I said the wrong thing. Word again for a thing. So I was like, ah, yeah. But
that's right. That's called improv, my friend. You laugh at things you don't understand.
Steven, edit that out.
Steven, that never happened. Now, do you think it's funny if it's the Black Dahlia writing her autobiography?
Yes.
I knew that was funnier than you were giving it.
Yeah, and you look like her.
I was totally in the wrong on that one. I'm so sorry.
I'm so glad I clarified who she was. She got kidnapped, and she wrote her own story about it. And fuck, she is like, man, maybe it's because she's into God and stuff, but she's like so strong. And it makes me like, all
right,
I'll talk to this guy. If it's like going to make me not sit on my couch and have anxiety all day about the vacuum. I don't know.
Well, wait, don't you think it's like she's got a little perspective?
Exactly. Yes.
It comes. Those things come hand in hand.
A little bit. So yeah. I'm going to steal some of hers.
Yes.
And then I'm going to use it to my advantage just to make money. Is that what that's
yeah.
for? Okay.
That's what books are for.
Hi. Plane ride.
Guys.
We have a thing to talk
about. We upgraded to first class on the way out here. I'm sorry. I'm sorry, Mom. I know it's wrong.
No, it's
but
not. I flew my dad, coach, and I flew first class. That's up.
I tell you where to sit now, Dad.
It's my money. I can do what I want with it. I got an extra leg room. You know, the little, you know, he's fine.
He's fine.
Marty.
He's had a great time.
He's not here.
We, either. On the other hand, had smoked pear yogurt tasters right when we sat down.
Oh, my God. They give you food.
They give you food. And it's so embarrassing because I so didn't know how to do it that I was like, I'll have the smoked pear yogurt taster. And they're like, yeah, everybody gets that. Great. I'm going to keep pretending that I know how this pod works.
And then I got up to go to the bathroom and I made Karen a face, and then she goes, did you have the sandwich? And the sandwich thing goes, yeah!
It was, I'm sorry, they did it right though, because it was a biscuit, like breakfast sandwich on a biscuit with it's scrambled eggs, some kind of chicken patty sausage, and then pimento cheese.
What?
No, Aunt Carol. Yes, I'm telling you. At first, I was like, this is the worst Thanksgiving ever. And then I ate it, and I was like, you're geniuses.
Man,
I love
chefs. Like those cheese, pub cheese.
Yes.
Oh, I would eat pub cheese
it
for the rest
nutso.
Of my life. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Should we sit down?
Sure.
You want to talk? What else do you want to say?
I feel like there was one other thing, but
probably.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, I remember when I went and brought you coffee. I went to Starbucks. I'm not her assistant. I went.
That's just important to note right now.
Yeah. I'm not Steven when we travel. I'm just a good person. And was like,
again, he won't mind.
Yeah. He's like, yeah, I get some coffee. He brings Karen a Diet Coke every week we record.
It's the cute.
Without even asking. I know. He steals it from his work. Don't tell them.
Thanks, Loot Crate. Just kidding, Steven. You can edit that out.
Edit that out, Steven.
Yeah.
Don't lose your job, Steven, because we're not paying you enough yet. We will.
He's going to, don't worry, he'll get some kind of massive cut in the end.
Yeah,
we both die, he'll inherit the house or whatever.
I think we've said a lot of that on the podcast. Like, if you don't get anything or you get everything, I don't remember. Anyways,
yeah, I think everything.
So I'm a good person and brought you coffee.
Yes.
And you open the door and I hand you the coffee and you're like, I have to finish my murder. And I was like, okay, bye. And I was like walking away and I was like, God, if someone in the fucking hallway heard that.
Just some old lady stepping out to go to some kind of a museum or cemetery or whatever you guys have here. Georgia, just give me the coffee. I have to finish this murder.
I can't tell people, like, the normal, really sweet, normal guy on the plane next to me was like, what are you doing in town? Which, you know, and I was like, I'm here for a thing. And I couldn't be like, I love murder. So this, like, really normal guy.
We laugh and laugh about murder for hours. You'd love it.
Love it. I have to finish my murder. I mean,
I
kind of wish someone would hear that.
You okay. Wish. Now should we sit down?
Okay, let's sit down. All right.
Yep.
Thank you. I
definitely.
Know it's sitting is fun.
Definitely. Oh.
That's better.
Yeah, I don't know.
My Spanx are fighting a losing battle.
There's no like. It's very, we ask for specifically this setup, and yeah. I don't know why. Like, we're no. Like, could you, like, dangle us on a precipice for an hour so just, that we just feel weird?
I don't want it to be bigger than a quarter. Like, I don't want the table to be bigger than, what's a funny thing?
Than me.
Yeah.
Than my ass.
I don't want any room to put things on.
I need to feel petite, so the table has to be Barbie-sized. Please. And then let's get those chairs. Like, the first time we had these chairs and I was wearing high heels, I was like, I'm going to fall off this chair.
Yeah.
And now that we're five in, I've gotten okay used to it, but...
We gotta think of something.
We gotta think.
Well, this is our first time with graphics. What are they called?
Yeah, check it out. No one's had this before.
Yeah, we've never done that. Go ahead, look at it.
I didn't look at it before.
Take it in. That's my name right there.
That's my name right there.
Oh, yeah. This is my favorite murder, by the way. Karen.
That's you, Georgia.
I'm not. I'm the other one.
Why did I reach up in a dress like this? Guys.
I was walking down the street.
Uh-huh.
And,
tonight? Just tonight?
Yeah, just tonight. Around the corner. Uh-huh. I really was. And then I saw it, like, and then I, like, saw the corner of my eye, like, I recognized the thing, and I looked up, and it was the front of the thing with the projector on it.
Well, of you.
Yeah.
And me.
I know. And it had sold out really big. And so I went in the street and took a photo of it. I got so excited.
Thank you, by the way. Thank you for selling us out.
Yeah.
That's very nice.
Thank you. Hasn't gotten old yet.
Imagine if we were here on Theater Row and everybody, like the Blue Man Group, and everybody just pitied us. They were just like, did you hear they sold 15 tickets?
Or just said not sold out.
Yep. Super available. Right down in front.
Buy one, get one free.
If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye. Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want to solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
So this is the point.
Where we ask who goes first?
Right. Normally.
Right.
That's right.
Well, I'm going first anyways because of this, because graphics have to be... Because Steven needed to know.
Also, some people might be off count. This is the dumbest thing in the world. Irresponsibility has become like a fun game for people.
Yeah.
Or like our like total lack of really almost interest in our own project. But also when we were on the road, we switched it up one night, and I swear to God, where were we? I think that might have been Seattle. People were right. Not happy. Where they're like, it's Georgia's turn. We're like, okay, all righty.
I mean,
everybody.
It's a joke. Like, we don't know. It's nobody's turn. It's everyone's turn.
It's nobody's turn. Think about it.
It's everyone's turn. It doesn't exist.
Fuck.
All of it. Okay, I'll go first. This is the
Welcome to My Favorite Murder. Sorry.
No, that was good. That's Karen. I'm Georgia. All right. This is the murder of Molly Bish. It's fucked up. Half of people are upset, half of them are excited.
No one's excited. I just like, it's the same feeling I have where I go, I fucking seen this one 4 times. Tell me about it.
Oh, I bet I know. I remember this part.
Yes.
All right. Well, I did some digging and I came up with some, I compiled some suspects.
You solved the case?
I solved the case. Okay. Summer of 2000, Molly Bish is working as a lifeguard at Commons Pond in Warren. Who's from there? Nobody.
Is Warren shitty? Everyone's like, ew.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what
no.
she... Okay. So her mom is dropping her off at a shift for her lifeguard duty. And again, she's 16 years old. And the mom sees a mustached man in a white sedan in the parking lot of their life. Steven! Oh my God!
No heckling, but that was really good.
We usually don't let
somebody down in the orchestra pit was like, Steven?
Well, when you see the composite, it might be Steven.
He really is shaping up to be a real sexual offender.
Can we edit that facial before Steven gets it, please?
The loveliest person in the world, but facial hair-wise, very suspicious.
Oh, what a baby.
He can never sit in a sedan ever again. Like,
you know how he loves sitting in sedans,
he
too.
He loves to go park in a parking lot.
Yeah.
Can't do it.
Says it relaxes him. Okay. All right, the mom sees a mustachioed man in a white sedan in the parking lot of the beach area where Molly's post was located. And the mom was like, what the fuck, that guy's shady. And so she waits till the guy drives away. And then the next day, she hadn't thought of it. The next day, she goes to drop her off, and she kind of does a little check, and he's not there. So she's like, great, and leaves her. And we know that Molly made it to her lifeguard stand because a witness saw her at 10:07 a.m., but by the time the first group of swimmers got to the beach around 10:15, Molly was already gone, missing. Hours later, police contacted Molly's mom, informing her that no lifeguard had been on duty all day, which has to be a fucking awful call, and that Molly's belongings had been left unattended at her station. The only clue, like her flip-flops are there and everything, the only clue was that the first aid kit that was by the chair was open, and it made police speculate that someone asked Molly for assistance and was like, do you have a thing? And she went to look for it, and then, you know.
Ted Bundy style, like, oh, my arm is broken.
Yeah.
Do you have... Can you open your first aid kit?
Totally. So the mom was like, this fucking creepy man was here yesterday and made me creeped out. And so Maggie, the mom, tells someone what she look, what he looks like, and they draw a composite sketch of him. And they say the man is the best lead, and witnesses came forward and said that they saw a similar white car in the parking lot moments before Molly and the mom arrived the day Molly disappeared. And so police produced a composite sketch. Oh, you guys like that? Oh, I didn't realize. What? I'm new with this.
Fuck.
Steven.
It's Steven Ray Morris Sr.
I thought people were freaked out by the word composite sketch.
I know. They like the way you pronounced it.
Yeah, wrong. Creep.
Oh, I don't want to see that guy anywhere.
I know.
I don't want to see that guy anywhere.
I know.
That's malice in the eyes.
Yeah. That's what she said. He looked cocky, she said. Right? Okay.
Sorry, hold on. I think the visual aids are really adding a huge element
to
this show.
Yeah. Why didn't...
Whose idea? Was that you?
I think it was Joe, our tour manager, and Steven.
Joe and Steven producing the shit out of this show.
We're like, all we need is a tiny table and some uncomfortable chairs, and we're fine. And they're like, well, maybe people want to see things.
We just need you to whittle down a normal-sized table and then get us really high cocktail chairs. I'll take care of the bad nylons. Whatever else you feel like doing, you can go ahead and
Great. Okay, then began what became the largest and most expensive search for a missing person ever undertaken in Massachusetts, but no clues were ever found. Until late fall of 2002, a hunter is in the woods and he sees a blue bathing suit on Whiskey Hill in Palmer. Anyone? No. Cool.
You can't cheer if you just recognize it. That's not...
They're like, yeah, someone probably lives there.
I've seen Palmer.
Yeah, Emerson Lake and... I love that band.
You rolled your eyes at your own reference just now.
I do that.
Jesus. That just came out of my mouth.
That girl is something else. So the dude doesn't think anything of it, but he mentions it to his friend, and the friend is like, I'm like really smart, and I make the connection. He does it. His name is Tim McGue. Nope. His name is Tim, and he makes the connection.
We call him Tim Mickey.
Tim Mickey. Mickey G.
The old sharp eye Mick Timmy.
Yeah. That's what we call him.
Yep.
The old brainy brain investigator. He contacts police. Whatever his name is, he contacts police. Then on June 9th, 2003, day after my birthday, who gives a shit?
Put it in your calendar.
Yeah. So it's 2 years after disappearing. Molly's body is found 5 miles from her family home. Mm. Yeah. So he had seen the blue bathing suit and then fuck. There are three main suspects that I could find, and I'm going to list them in maybe they did it to yeah, they totally did it order. Okay. Yeah.
Alleged.
So in 2007, a man named Robert Berno, who's 54, is charged with an... Oh my God, you guys, I keep forgetting this.
I thought it was like that guy ran for Senate and he was a Trump guy.
I just thought I said it wrong again.
That's what happened. That happened to us in Seattle. I fucking mentioned the detective that was right. Investigating the Green River Killer that Ted Bundy helped. I say the guy's name. The audience goes fucking berserk booing us. And I was like, well, that was a fun run. I guess we're not doing this anymore. He's some lunatic Republican,
oh my
whatever.
God, yeah. There he is.
I like that we're standing up like Victorian gentlemen for every fucking criminal that comes up.
So Robert Berno, he's 54. He looks like the sketch, kind of, right?
Well, he's got those eyes. Jesus Christ.
And a mustache. And this is when he's older, too, so it could be very different. So he had been charged with annoying... He's charged with annoying and accosting a person of the opposite sex. She's like, dude. And assault with a dangerous weapon, a car. So
was he, like, just pulling up and tapping her with the bumper?
Yes.
Over and over? Hey, what's going on?
Actually, yeah.
Oh, what?
this chick is, this young woman is running on Brimfield's Little Alum Road, and he keeps trying to pin her against the guardrail with his car. Yeah, you can't pepper spray a car.
I mean,
what do you fucking do? But she got away like a badass.
That's, I feel like that's really unfair.
I know, right?
To try to pin someone with your car when yeah. they're just a jogger.
Yeah.
That's when you have the least amount of clothes on.
Yeah. Like at least, yeah. Anyway, at least get near enough that I could maybe pepper spray you.
She got away.
Yeah. So the only connection that is known of is that Bruno's brother lives about 3.2 miles from where Molly was found. Mm. And he's fucking assaulting a woman. He had lived in the town of Agawam. I knew you'd help.
Say it again. I'm sorry.
Agawam. So you fucking know that one. But you know the other ones are easy to fucking say. That's cool.
Thank you.
I'm truly embarrassed about that one.
Please. I mean, there's so many things to choose from. Why pick that? Please.
I am from Southern California so hard. There's just no way.
I find that what helps with the Boston accent is if you put your shoulders up and squint your eyes like, Worcester.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
Can I say, too, that... Like two of the nicest people on the street helped me with something that in LA they would have yelled at me for.
Yeah.
I like dropped something and like two people were like, hey, and, like ran me down and were so, and I was being a fucking idiot and like looking at my phone like a dick. Like it was totally me being a, anyways, they were really nice. So thanks, Boston.
That was just a sidebar anecdote about something that happened.
I just want to say how nice everyone is, even though they scream names at me.
I thought you were going to be like how they came up to you with their accents or something.
Oh, they had like the best accents too.
So do
like,
it.
No.
Come on.
I'm not going to offend them again.
They don't care. They love it. You dropped your box. My mother saw you drop your box. Something like that? Theater school. Years and years of theater
Maybe
school.
Maybe later. I'm sweating. 3.2 miles from where Molly is found. He had lived in the town of Agawam.
Pretend it's a sing-along. Agabeda.
It's a call and repeat. Where 24-year-old Lisa Ziegert was... Fuck, man. Ziegert.
I just wish you guys would all come to my house and I'll yell fucking names at you. It's Kilgariff with an A.
Yeah.
Flat A.
Stark. Fuck. Georgia. No, it's
no.
Georgia.
Karen. It's really easy. You didn't get it wrong. I can't yell at you about that.
Okay. So Lisa was abducted from her part-time job at a card shop on April 15th, 1992. And... Agawam.
She's doing it on purpose now.
I'm kidding.
She's doing it for attention.
I am. It's about 30 miles from Warren. And so,
it's Warren.
Sorry.
Lisa. Now let's let her tell the story.
I wish she wouldn't. Lisa's body was discovered in a wooded area 4 days after she was abducted and she'd been stabbed to death. Mm. Poor baby. I know.
We were just having so much fun.
So can we bring it back fucking down?
Let's bring it all the way down.
Little Alum Road, where Bruno attempted to accost the jogger, is about 5 miles from Commons Pond, where Molly was abducted. Yeah.
And also,
you're getting one of those things, like if it was a procedural, there would be like a pin with a piece of thread.
No.
And then someone making a circle with it.
Yeah. No, if I were a professional, there'd be a fucking map right here.
I mean, could you imagine a map with circles on it? Red and green, whatnot.
I was gonna. I really thought about it.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Like designing some kind of a map circle?
Yeah, but, you know.
You had to curl that hair.
You know, this hair doesn't curl itself.
Girl stuff.
And then, and also his mugshot resembles the person the mother saw. And she said that the similarities between them are frightening, quote. All right, suspect number two. In November 2011, Gerald Bassettoni. Gerald. I was so proud of myself for getting
that. I'm sorry.
No, you're right. What is wrong with me?
Well, you're all freaked out now.
I am. You're so sweaty. Don't. Let's get this dry clean. Take it out of my...
Okay. Shit, how many dudes look this evil in this area?
Like, it doesn't, but it does. Like, look at those eyes.
Those eyes.
Look at that pout, like the grimace. It's him. It's fucking him, huh?
Also, those are the same eyes of every, like, 58-year-old woman in Beverly Hills. That's what it looks like when you get plastic surgery. Nobody ever believes you're younger.
That's some bloat right there.
You just look like... a potential murderer.
That's some hardcore Natty Light bloat happening right there. You know?
Oh, yeah.
I think it's him. Look at them. Look at the in the middle of his eyes, the brow furrow.
Yeah.
Dude.
If I could do anything with computers, what I would do right now is an animated GIF that draws on that mustache on that picture.
Oh, yeah.
Kind of real sketch.
I love when they take the two, the real picture and the sketch, and then
yes.
go, swoop, and you're like, oh, my God, but it's not him even. It's just, you can be convinced of anything.
Yeah. You're just like, the picture's blended, and it makes him guilty.
Gerald. His name's Gerald.
It's Gerald, yeah.
He was a confidential informant for the Eastern Hampton County Narcotic Task Force, which he's a narc. Like, that doesn't mean he's like a good guy. Like, he was like a fucking, got arrested and was like, I'll tell you everything. He's a fucking rat.
He was a soul pigeon.
Is that it?
Right. Now I'm doing New York. I've lost my,
we'll be there tomorrow. We'll be there tomorrow. Where did I go? Okay. So, he's a jerk, and he's named as a suspect by a private detective, and he's served a prison sentence for repeatedly raping a teenage girl in the 1990s. I know. Who I think it was his girlfriend's best friend's daughter. He's a fucking creep piece of shit. Okay. So he had a criminal record dating back to 1980, and he had been in the area where Molly Bish's body was found and resembles the sketch. And then...
Who doesn't?
I mean, let's put my photo up there. Steve, he attempted suicide in prison by slitting his own throat after newspaper articles identified him as a potential suspect.
Wait.
I know, guilty as fuck.
But he's already in jail?
In jail for something unrelated. It comes out in the paper, and they're like...
And now he's ashamed.
Yeah, I think he's there for the... No, now he's like, oh, shit, I absolutely did it. Goodbye. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you also don't... I don't think you, like, slit your own throat. Like, that's not a chill. Like, I'm going to make it look like I want to die. Like, that's not a...
No, you're out. You're out of there.
Yeah, you're giving it your best shot.
Yeah.
So, but unrelated to the suicide, he died in November 2014.
So you're saying he did it?
Well,
that's number two.
That's number two.
Sorry.
And then finally, don't make me decide yet.
Okay.
This is really exciting. This is like the worst dating game ever.
Do you want the weasel-eyed bachelor number one?
Now you can take the sketch guy. You can take the guy who's sketched out, but then he'll kill you. All right. So in 2009, last suspect, a woman named Crystal Morrison, who's 50, she's a former Warren local who's now living in Florida. She makes a series of really weird calls to her sister, Bonnie. And in the calls, Crystal is whispering and would bring up the topic of murder and repeatedly ask the name of Bonnie's bird, which was Molly, like in a really weird, like, oh, what's your bird's name?
Oh.
Like to make her keep saying it.
Trying to give her some kind of signal.
Yeah. And the sisters found, the crystals found dead. And Bonnie, the sister who was on the phone, was like, tells Massachusetts authorities about her sister's boyfriend who ends up getting convicted for the murder of Crystal. Bonnie tells them that the that Rodney, where did I put his name? Rodney, he had lived in, this guy had lived in Southbridge, Massachusetts, a few miles. Fuck, I keep getting freaked out.
No, like, it's that guy.
Someone's like, I live in
I
Southbridge
changed my mind.
Too.
It's gotta be this guy. That's that guy.
I don't know. I think the other, well, yeah.
Yeah. It's this guy.
I wish we could see his photo. Like, this is 2009, I think. I wish we could see him and.
I wish he would put a bunch of walnuts in his cheeks so he would match that guy. Then we'd know. That's how we'd know.
Let's give him a facelift in jail. You guys will all band together, start a Kickstarter.
I'm sorry, but this is our new show where we just are like, God. Look at pictures.
Yeah. Where people gasp at us, we freak out, and then we all turn and look at the photos.
We forget over and over,
over and
like
over.
Lunatics.
Over and over. All right. So this psychopath, so he... He lived in the area a few miles from the town of Warren, where Molly disappeared, for more than 20 years and moved to Florida a year after Molly was murdered.
Red flag.
Yeah. He was known to have access to a white car, similar to the one seen the day before Molly's disappearance, and was known to fish in Commons Pond and hunt in the woods where Molly's body had been found.
Knew the area.
Knew the fucking area.
Yeah.
Multiple areas. And it wasn't until 2013 a further connection between them, between Molly and Rodney, appeared. Weeks before her disappearance in Southbridge, Molly, who lives in Warren, she actually took the classes for the certification for her lifeguard certificate. Oh, his name is Rodney Stranger, by the way. Like Stranger, like making a murderer Stranger.
Just an L away.
What?
Oh. What was your thing?
Nothing.
Sorry.
So she's taking her certification for lifeguarding, and it's in Southbridge where he lives. And so his house is just 0.3 miles from the place where she takes her classes, which I think is the YMCA. So like he probably goes and hangs out there too. And then it's speculated that the two maybe met. There's a local coffee shop where everyone hangs out, and she's really friendly and outgoing, her parents said. And so if he was like chatting her up and they were talking and he's like, so what are you doing in town? And she's like, oh, I'm going to be a lifeguard. When are you going to go? Where are you? Oh, I go to Commons Pond. I fish there. You know what I mean? Maybe I'll come visit, you know? And then he comes up to her lifeguard stand. He's like, hey, remember me? I need a Band-Aid. And she's like, okay, because she fucking trusts him.
Oh, it's my good friend from the cafe with the huge mustache and the worst eyes I've ever seen. I better help him.
Yeah. Man. Yep. So she maybe told him that. Then in September of last year, so just September 2016, enhanced DNA testing, quote, became available in September for like the DNA that they had. So detectives wanted to test it. 24 pieces of evidence collected during the investigation, additional evidence that had never been tested. It hasn't been tested yet, and the sister said she had not been told which items will be tested, but it came from the pond where Molly was last seen. So here's Molly Bish, a photo of her. I know, I had that flannel, I think.
I know all those pictures of her. You just know that girl.
I know.
It's just that, like, you went to high school with
Look
that girl.
Look at her choker. She has a necklace, like a hemp necklace.
Wait, is this 1997?
2000.
Shit.
It's like the same thing when you're in Massachusetts, right?
No, shit. You have to deal with it. We have microphones.
As that's
she slammed
out
you.
Out of my fucking mouth.
That's my new laugh. Not you.
Karen, it's so charming.
Isn't it neat?
Yeah, so hopefully they'll test that DNA and we'll get an update on this case, and then Rodney Stranger, who's clearly the fucking killer, will be...
Should we make a friendly wager on it? I bet you $2,000 it's not. No, I'm just kidding.
I was like, that's a lot of first class flights.
That's one.
That's one. That's one way.
Let's all go to the jail cell where he's in right now. Oh. Fucking beat it out of him. What? We're not allowed to say inflammatory shit like that?
No.
Oh, because then they're like, she incited people to... Oh.
There's 3,000 people
Steven.
Here.
No, there's not. Steven, don't let me get arrested.
Edit out any arrest or problem that I cause.
The rest of my life.
Yeah, please. I saw that one. Her mom is on one special that's heartbreaking. Because her mom, you know, worked so hard to find her and was so active, and it's very sad. There's also one of the. It's like the worst funny thing of all time. Do you guys know what
it's
I'm talking about?
It's gonna be
fun. It's a local news report, and they are talking about this case. But when they go to put up that guy's picture, Stranger, it's a picture of a hamster instead.
What? I was not expecting that.
It is so funny, terrible. Like, because the reporter, it's very sad and serious.
Oh.
It's well into the case.
Who did that?
It's some fuck up in like the graphics department was like, then we do the hamster story. And it's like, no. Please
God,
double
we
check.
We don't
that.
Have that. Yet.
Yeah, ours are fucking spot on.
I thought you were going to say it was the like vacation photos from the newscaster. No, that's worse.
You have to look it up because it's hilarious, terrible. But also, here's how I'm, you know, my early murderino, the first time somebody showed me that, it was like in a writer's room. And instead of laughing at the hamster, I was like, I know the Molly Bish case. And then that's what I wanted to talk about. Or just like, that's actually an incredibly sad case because...
I know. I hate when people like casually bring something up that they don't even care about murder. And then you're like, oh, you know that what's crazy about that case is that this happened. And then they're like, oh, okay.
Like, don't start it if you don't want to hear it.
Vince was trying to help me find, like, a murder for New York, and then I was like, oh, that case is cool because... And then he was just like, I'm just giving you names. He was like, please stop telling me about bodies being found in fucking drums. Not like, you know.
That's a...
Oh, dear.
That's a for better or for worse. He agreed to bodies and drums.
Listen, I have to watch wrestling sometimes.
Yeah, that's right.
And
that's love. Give and take. Murder, wrestling.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all Made In, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com.
Goodbye.
All right, you ready for this one?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you guys... I got all of this off of a blog called I Did It for Jody. Have you read that? I'd never seen it before. And it's a person that told this story really well. So most of this is fucking straight up plagiarism.
We're the
but
best.
It's a really good true crime blog.
Yeah.
With a lot of other stuff on it. Yeah. So shout out and full apologies. Don't sue me. I changed every fourth word. Okay. This is the case, Boston's notorious case of the giggler. Do you know the giggler?
Giggler.
In California, we call him the giggler. All right.
Nobody. Like, they made that up for people who think, so they can tell they're not from around here.
That's right. It's a test.
Yeah.
We're like, there's actually no giggler. At 1:30 in the morning on June 13th, 1969, a call came through to the Boston PD switchboard, and the voice on the other line said, "My dear, at the corner of Washington." I can't really do it. Boston is really, it's truly the hardest accent.
Yeah.
You can tell. Yes, you should be very proud of that. High fives all around. There's nothing worse than when a movie is set in Boston and there are people who are bad actors in that movie.
We can tell.
Thank you, Boston.
Don't worry. We don't think that fucking any of these people sound like that.
Well, also, it's just like, get fucking Matt Damon if you can't get somebody that can do the act.
I'm Boston, sure they have actors in Boston.
There's so many Afflecks that want to be in this business. Pull them in. Get them in there.
No, I know, right?
We all have opinions, everybody. So the guy on the other line at the Boston PD switchboard says, "My dear, at the corner of Washington," I'm not trying to be in a movie right now, "the corner of Washington and Neyland Streets in a construction site, there'll be a man down in the water dead." Then he identified himself as the giggler, cackled like a maniac, and hung up.
Oh, can you imagine like having to go home that night after taking that call?
And be like, "I talked to the biggest nerd in Boston tonight."
You don't get to fucking name yourself.
He must have like loved Batman or something. And be like, "I want to kill people, but I'm also super nerdy." You just heard from the giggler. Like, it's so hard to fake laugh anyway.
It's hard to giggle.
Yeah. Then you're a man.
Yeah.
I don't know. How would you do it?
That sounds right.
I bet she was like not so much like scared as she was so sad for him. So when the police arrived at that location, which is in the is a square in the middle of a place called, these guys know it, I don't know, Georgia, if you know it, it's called the Combat Zone. So it's a dirty, dirty, dirty place here in Boston.
I bet it's not anymore. Oh, we're in it!
What?
We're in it!
We're in it right now? We're in the fucking combat zone? And then it just fucking turns into a strip show.
Steven!
Steven crawls out in a gold lame bikini bottom. Go, go. No touching, no touching.
I don't know why we're stripping all of a sudden.
Fuck, we're in the combat zone, dude. Oh.
Got it.
All right. That changes my whole experience. So somewhere nearby here, they find a dead man who is submerged with his skull crushed in a water-filled ditch. So this man, his name was Joe Breen, and according to his friends, he had spent his last night on Earth drinking at a bar called The Novelty.
I doubt. This place
You're
is...
You're in it!
Let's all go there after the show.
I would, because what he did on this last night on Earth was drink beer and play shuffleboard.
Whoa. That's all I need.
I'm sorry, that's a pretty fucking good way to go out.
Natty lights and shuffleboard.
Yeah. It would have been nicer if he just dropped dead at the shuffleboard area.
Or not at all.
Or maybe not at all and lived a full life, everybody.
Or whatever.
All right.
We love you, Karen!
Fuck you! Mom, I told you not to come here!
Fuck you! Thank you. That's what tore us apart. That's
insanely rude. Look, we're in the combat zone, baby. It's rough.
Welcome.
It's rough in here. It's one-sided compliments and shit. Okay, so his friends say that at the Novelty is where Joe Breen met a chubby, dark-haired stranger who he continued to play shuffleboard with after his friends were like, no, let's go across the street to that other bar. And then when the bars closed, Joe's friends came back to the Novelty to get him, but found that neither he nor his new friend were there anymore. And one of the guys that were in Joe's group of friends was a cop, and so after Joe's body was found, this guy went back to the Novelty for like night after night for like a month to see if he could see the guy again, but the guy never showed up again.
Aww.
Yeah. So 6 months later, on December 26th, 9-year-old Kenneth Martin is reported missing. He was last seen near South Station. Is that good? People are like, ooh, that's Tony. He must have been rich. South Station's bad. Okay. Well, that's appropriate because terrible things happened there. And I'm going to tell you what they are.
Uh-oh.
On January 6th, an anonymous tipster calls and says that Kenneth Martin's body can be found in one of the tunnels beneath South Station. Uh-uh. But he didn't announce himself or laugh this time. I bet he felt stupid about the first time. So he's like, I'm not doing that anymore. Yeah. It stuck anyway. So the police went down there. It took 2 days to locate Kenneth's body, and he was lying under a canvas tarp. He had been strangled to death, and the twine was still around his neck. But there were no signs of sexual assault. It turns out that Kenneth Martin had worked at the South Station bowling alley. Is that still there? Don't you think it should be?
I bet it's one of those, like, the old-fashioned ones that had the small little balls and you had to put the pins.
Yes, it was.
What are you yelling?
Candlepin.
Southern California doesn't have that.
We've got the biggest pins in the world. It was one of those because Kenneth's job was to reset those pins.
Aww.
He made a little money resetting the pins at the shitty station bowling alley.
Fuck, man.
But the good part about that was because he worked there, everybody else that worked there knew him, and so they saw him when he... they basically saw the last person that was with him, and that was Kenneth Harrison, 31, an unemployed cook who...
Look.
Oh, fuck.
I knew somehow. Oh, he doesn't look chill.
That is.
He looks like John Lennon got punched in the face a bunch.
Yeah. Yeah, he's the Beatle where they were like, you know, we're probably not going to do this that much anymore.
Yeah.
So I don't think we need keyboards. But we want your brother George. He can stay. He's great. So this guy basically sleeps in unoccupied, like, offices and spaces in South Station, which I hear is great. It's an up-and-coming area now.
Mm.
Those offices go for $3,500 a month.
They call them lofts
now. They're lofts now. So lost my place.
I can't believe Ahan wrote this.
I know.
This is such a bad idea.
This looks like fucking quills. Like, it's like I'm a lunatic inside of an asylum. Like, and then the man took the child. Jesus Christ, what is my life? Okay.
It's first class.
Oh, I wrote, that's why I was so lost, because I just randomly wrote, good eye, bowling alley, dude. Don't, stop it, Karen. Okay. I said he'd been at the bowling alley long enough to know that if you see a 31-year-old cook and a 9-year-old boy palling around together and you're not at a Magic the Gathering, then why don't you go ahead and call the police? And that's what they did.
Ooh.
Whatever it takes.
She, I know, they're like, down.
There's no way she's attacking Magic the Gathering.
She threw down.
She doesn't give a fuck.
She's more of a World of Warcraft kind of girl. I don't know if those are even close to each other.
Turns out when the cops went to talk to Kenneth Harrison, mm-hmm. he had, the day before, jumped on a train to Providence, Rhode Island.
Hi!
Is that a fun train trip?
It's, yeah. It's close because, never mind.
What?
I met some nice murderinos in, when I was having lunch earlier, and they told me we're at Rhode Island, and I was like, oh, so did you guys come in for the day and or like fly in? And they're like, it's like an hour away.
Would you take a boat or a train?
Yeah. They're very nice about it, though.
Where we live, it takes 7 hours to get anywhere yeah. else.
Like in the city, in the yeah. same city.
In that one city.
Don't come here. Don't
Los
come to
Angeles
LA.
And Boston are so different.
Thank you.
Oh, now you're getting one.
Well, it's from the probably the ladies at the bar who are enough.
Oh, I see. They're the ones you talk to about Providence,
yeah.
Rhode Island.
Yeah.
I like to picture that it's like a soap dish thing where you're going up to people being like, where's Providence, Rhode Island? Do you listen to podcasts?
Like, it's clearly a girl that's coming to the show. You can just tell, you know?
Yeah,
like,
you see her shirt.
Yeah, you have pins on. I know you're coming.
All right, so the police bring... Oh, he's gone. The police bring Kenneth Harrison back to Boston, and they interrogate him. And Kenneth tells police that he was sitting in an office, and he was suddenly struck with the urge to kill. And that's when Kenneth rolled on by.
Ooh.
And he has no memory of it because he was blackout drunk. He claims that he woke up down in the tunnels next to the dead body. He covered it with the canvas and left because he called it in and then he left because he felt bad. And then
weird.
The cops were like, oh, really? Is that your story? And then Kenneth Harrison said, well, as long as I'm here, I might as well tell you about a few more.
Whoa.
Because I'm the giggler. So,
huh.
2.5 years earlier, while he was, this is fucked up. We've been having a nice time so far. It's about to get really not that great. While he was working as a cab driver, he saw 6-year-old Lucy Palmerin. She's going to come up in a second. Well, I mean, yeah.
Aww.
So he sees her walking. This is the thing, too. She's 6 years old walking to the store to get candy. Six years old.
Because it's the 60s.
She's this big.
Because it's the
go
90s,
ahead.
Even.
Get out of here. I don't want to see you till the sun goes down, Lucy. Go.
Go play.
Fucking go walk around the south side of Boston.
Yeah. World of Warcraft isn't invented yet. Go play.
Just go. So he is in his cab. He offers her a ride, and she gets in. He's friendly enough. She gets in willingly. They drive around the neighborhood for a bit, and then he parks the cab on a bridge overlooking Fort Point Channel.
Oh, God.
Which is the site of the Boston Tea Party, Georgia. You'll be tested later on that.
What's that? I just didn't even know to begin with. Hey. Everyone's so pissed. I know what it is.
It's hard. It's hard to be vulnerable. So they get out of the cab, and he encourages her to get on his back because he's going to give her a piggyback ride.
No.
And then he tells the police he was again struck with that urge to kill. And so instead of putting her like up on his shoulders, which is not a piggyback ride, but it's how the thing was written, so I just have to copy and paste as I see it. he, instead of lifting her to put her on his shoulders, he just throws her off the bridge.
Oh, fuck.
Yeah.
Get out.
So 5 weeks later, Lucy's body is found on May 24th. But since there was no one witness, it was the middle of the day, nobody witnessed it happening, her death had been was ruled accidental. And then on November 26, 1968, while walking across that same bridge, he spots 75-year-old Clover Parker, an old lady who had been slipping Clover. On the ice and had a cane.
Clover.
And he, he walked over to help her.
No.
And was, again, struck with the urge to kill. And so he punched her in the face a couple of times.
No.
And then threw her off the bridge.
No.
Again, in broad daylight.
What
Where?
The fuck?
What is the situation with this bridge? Is there a bunch of trees nearby? Why am I asking you?
Do you think anyone's on their first date right now? And one person was like, what do you want to do? And she's like, I want to go to this thing. You
want
to come?
He's like, I really want you to like
try
the thing
it.
I like.
Yeah. And they're like, this date's over.
Yeah. The one person's all, after this, we're going to go back and we're going to have some drinks. And the other person's like already texting their friend, like, you have to fucking come get me at the Wilbur right now.
Why did you set me up with her? What the fuck?
What? Who is this?
Yeah.
That's fine. The bruising on her face, the beating was mistaken for post-mortem injuries, and so again, it was ruled an accidental death.
No.
Then 7 months later is when he met up with Joe Breen and beat him to death with a rock. He had hit him in the head with a rock. In his confession, he wasn't done because then he rolled it all the way back to January 28, 1966, which was the date of the Paramount Hotel fire. That was a well-known hobo hotel here in the combat zone.
We don't say hobo anymore.
You can't say it?
No.
Hobo's bad?
Hobo's bad.
Is it a train worker? Train track?
You can say what I mean. You can say whatever you fucking want. No, it's I don't know. That's what I heard.
Really?
Yeah.
All right.
I'm trying to know that
anybody can type anything into that machine, right? I mean, they can just do whatever they want.
Whoever Jody is, she didn't know yet. Jody didn't know.
It's Jody Foster. I did it for
She's
Jody
blogging?
Foster. It's the Mark David Chapman quote.
Oh.
When he
get, oh.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
It's a reference.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
Transient.
Now I'm scared of pictures coming up.
Jodie Foster picture.
Hobo with a big fucking line through it. Jesus. A transient hotel for people who did not have homes or money or people that loved him. So it was very much sadder than it normally had to be. If you're just picturing a hobo with a little stick on his shoulder and fucking patches on his knees.
I guess,
We cope in all these different ways. You can't tell people to cope differently.
If it's
right.
pre-1990s, you can call him hobo. I just decided.
This is 66.
Yeah, so you're good.
The height of hobo action. All right, we'll stop. So he basically, 50 people were injured, 11 people died in this fire, and it was decided that it was because of a gas leak until Kenneth Harrison explained that he set that hotel on fire because he wanted to watch it burn.
What?
So he was tried for Kenneth Martin's murder first, and he was sentenced to life in prison without the possibility of parole. And then just to get it all taken care of altogether, his lawyers struck a deal so that in exchange for him pleading guilty to second-degree murder in each case, each of the other cases, he was given 3 life sentences with the possibility of parole to run concurrently with the one where there was no fucking way he was getting out. So it was all just kind of like, do you want this, Kenneth? Yeah. Okay.
Can you imagine, like, that's the best, his best bet?
Yeah.
Like, they're not fucking around.
Yeah. He's like, could I also have stickers? Nope, sorry. Stickers are only for the good boys. All right, so then he was sentenced to hard labor at Walpole State Prison.
Ooh. You guys summer there?
There's just a row of dudes in like orange jumpsuits chained together. They're just like, fuck yeah, that's what I came here for. Finally.
My favorite murder, the prison tour. Yeah.
Ah, dude. I'm telling you. She's a fucking idea machine. You wouldn't believe the shit that comes out of her mouth. You wouldn't be able to call them dick licks and stuff, though.
No, I know.
They'd get mad.
1% of the time I say shit correctly, and then it's and it's golden. The rest is Worcester.
I bet you... I bet the prisoners wouldn't care if you said Worcester.
Yeah, they would.
They would. They would. They would the most. And they'd try to strangle us because of it. So instead of going to Walpole, they send him to Bridgewater State Hospital for the mentally insane, for the criminally insane. Now, I have to tell you, in our next show, we're doing different murders tonight.
Yeah.
And I know, right? I don't know what the problem is with that. It's just, we're changing its variety. But
they're not as good, don't worry.
Bridgewater State Hospital plays into so many crimes here. It's, they send everybody there.
Yeah.
Terrible, it's terrible.
Get the fuck in there.
Yeah,
like,
get in there. Well, go. You can't, there's a really upsetting documentary called The Titty Cut Follies, and it's about, it's hard to find, they pulled it because it was an infringement of people's privacy, but this guy went in and made a documentary about life inside this state prison.
Oh, is that why Geraldo Rivera went to
that? No, that was the one that was
New
in
York.
Staten Island.
Right, okay.
Yeah, but similar, I bet you that probably gave Geraldo the idea, because it was this thing where they went in of like, oh, this is, every year they do a talent show at, it's Bridgewater, right? At Bridgewater State Prison, they do a talent show. And so they were like, we're going to go film that. But of course, what they were really filming is this fucking, the way people are treated and how awful it was and dehumanizing and everything. So just thought I'd throw that movie recommendation out for you. If you have a, you know, fun weekend planned, throw that one in there just to see man's inhumanity to man. So Kenneth Harrison stayed at Bridgewater for 20 years, and then in April of 1989, they told him that he was scheduled to finally be transferred. They gave him a nice 20-year holding period, and then they said, you're going to get transferred to the state prison. So he OD'd on his antidepressants.
Oh, you can do that?
And yeah, I guess so. If you save him up.
Oh.
You have to save up a ton.
You tongue them into your, you gum them? Gum them.
You gum them?
Yeah.
Or you go ahead and maybe you armpit them?
Right.
There's all these ways.
Yeah.
And then the person who wrote I Did It for Jody made a very hilarious joke about the great irony of the giggler dying of antidepressant overdose.
Oh my God, that is amazing.
And I had to tell you that it's a very strong person, a very strong stand-up comedian that doesn't just rip that joke off and say it as her own. I wanted to really bad, but I can't.
Karen, we're proud of you.
Yeah, applaud me. Applaud me.
That is amazing.
For not being a dick. Applaud me for stealing.
That might be the best closer of any murder we've ever talked about.
Of the irony of that juxtaposition. Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yes.
Love it. They're coming for you for Bridgewater. Do we have time for a...
Do we? To the people?
One guy's like, no, this date sucks.
I don't have my glasses on. Do we have... Can you look over there and see if they're telling us yes or no?
I mean, we can do whatever the fuck we... Oh, they're saying no.
They're saying...
Like, no, sorry. I guess I should have looked before I asked.
We should have looked first.
That's our lesson.
No, a guy yelling, yo, wait isn't going to work out here at this show, my friend. That's simply not happening. We'd love for you to stay sexy.
And don't get murdered!
Thank you, Boston.
Thank you so much, Boston.
Thank you.